Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is the Scummy Mummies podcast. Hello and welcome to the Scummy Mummies podcast. I'm Ellie Gibson.
And I'm Helen Thorne.
And you are?
I'm Dee Dee Khan.
It's Dee Dee Khan, also known as Frenchie out of Grace.
Oh, she is the one that we want, Ellie.
Honey.
Oh, here we go. The money shot.
Oh,
right
my God.
At the top. There's the money
it's
shot.
It's like Grease 3.
Yes. Well, thank you for listening. Until next time. No, that's amazing. Oh, hello, Dee Dee. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, my pleasure. So great to meet the two of you.
And we're here in your bedroom.
Oh, yes, that's right. You're in a recreation of Frenchie's bedroom. And want to know something? It gave me chills. It really is amazing. These guys were brilliant. The curtains, the decoration is perfect.
Yeah, because it's all the pink walls. It's the original wallpaper, someone was telling me. They've drawn the original wallpaper from the film and had it printed.
That's
and
right.
All these amazing, like, 50s knickknacks. And you've even brought your own bubble gum, didn't
yes,
you?
Yes, I did. I didn't bring any wine, but...
Oh. Or cigarettes, we'll fix that up later. Yeah. We're in London, Soho. There's plenty of places we can go for wine later.
Yeah.
Excellent. And you've bought your jacket, the Pink Lady's
yes,
jacket.
This is my real jacket.
The original.
Oh. Yes, it even... has some mustard stains.
Oh, my God,
that's from
amazing.
The drive-in, you know. We shot that at night. In fact, you know, you come around 3, 4 o'clock, get your makeup, and rehearse, and then as soon as it's dark, you film, and it went on and on and on all night long, and I think at around 3 in the morning, they made chili, and that was not so good because it gave everybody a little, you know, bloated...
Oh. You don't want Travolta farting all the way through shooting. That's
nobody
ideal.
Wants that. Although,
no.
How can the farts get out in those trousers?
Well,
those trousers,
exactly, yeah. Well, the worst thing is that you can't stay in the frame because you keep popping.
Oh, my God, fart chat with Frenchie, Ellie.
Yes.
We're peaked.
Yeah, the very first commercial I ever did was for Sony Television. And I was in my bedroom. It wasn't Frenchie's bedroom, but it was, and I had to turn into the camera and say, a Sony of my own, right? But I hadn't eaten all day, and they took me to dinner right before, and I ate too fast, and I kept, that's what happened. I kept dropping out of frame. And one finally, the sound man was holding his earphones. You're, "Pow! What was that?" You know,
such a big noise from
God.
A little lady.
That was so bad. I smelled it with my ears. So Frenchie's farty. I mean, we're already, that's headline news.
I think we're going to win an award with this podcast. Thank you, Dee Dee.
I love that this is original jacket and it's got stains on it. I think you're a scummy mummy, Dee Dee.
You are.
So did you ask if you could keep the jacket or did you just quietly pop it in the handbag?
I don't know how it got home. No,
I think you do. Paramount, if you'd like, we'll have her arrested. Don't worry. We've called the police, madam. You're not getting out of here.
And you only got one on set. That was it. You got one jacket and that was it.
Yeah, we had the one jacket, as far as I know. I mean, I had a few different blouses that I wore in the beauty school dropout because of the fact that Rizzo was throwing a milkshake onto Kinnicky, you know, and it was supposed to miss him and then get on me, which gave me the motivation to take off the kerchief and reveal the pink hair. However, dear old Stockard was pissed off at Jeff Conaway played Kinnicky because he gave her a real Kinnicky hickey. Yes. Oh,
and like, audible gasp.
One, yes.
What, as part of, when they were shooting, he was supposed to just give her a joke kit, or was this off set? What was
Was this in the car scene where they're having it off?
No. No, he just, you know, I think she said, give me a little one or something, and he laid it in on her, and she was mad. So take one, she throws the milkshake right in his face. I don't get anything on me. Take two, right in his face. Take up to take seven. Finally, the next time you see the movie, watch how Frenchie tries to get a little bit of the milkshake.
I get over here, sunshine.
I get one little, one like string of, but I acted. I pretend that I got it all over so we could get on with this.
See, that's the craft, God. You see. That's the craft.
But this was to answer your question, how many shirts I had or jackets I had. Many of those shirts, one of them did come home with me, which I ended up giving to Carly Rae Jepsen when we did Grease Live.
Oh.
She couldn't wear it in the show because A, it was too big on her, and B, because Grease Live was going so fast, all the costumes were built so they could take them off fast and put them on the next thing.
Yeah, well, call me, no thanks. the song doesn't go. And what about the pink wig? Was that your real hair? I mean, I don't know.
You know what's funny? When we did the movie, it was before Punk. Right.
Mm.
Nobody had pink hair.
No.
Not even old ladies. Maybe they had a little bit of blue hair, but not pink hair. And I hadn't had the wig on. Well, they tried the wig on to do a makeup test to try to make some kind of sense of my olive skin with pink hair. But then they changed it to another color, which I hadn't seen. So it wasn't until the actual day of filming that I had the whole outfit on, my peach outfit with the pink hair. And we rehearsed, and Frankie Avalon came in, and they broke for lunch. So we never got a shot. And when you're working on a movie, you know, you go to your trailer, you take your clothes off, you put your street clothes on or a robe. But I couldn't believe how goofy I looked. So I snuck off a Paramount lot, got in my car, and drove to my drama coach's house. I said, Mr. Pardo, look at me. And he went, oh, my God. He said, don't act. Don't do anything. Just look at that man. You don't have to. You look so goofy. And it was great advice because when Frankie Avalon came down those steps, all I could do was drool, you know. And I kept in my mind, keep the drooling to a limit because you look so goofy.
I mean, keep the drooling to a limit is a good rule for life, really, I find. Just for wandering around generally is a handy tip.
Or have a hanky, you know, that you can wipe it up, you know.
And can we go back even further, like during the filming, to how did you get the part of Frenchie? Did you like audition for other roles? Did you know you were going to be Frenchie?
I didn't. Well, no, I got a call from my agent to go to Paramount to pick up my script, and the audition would be the next day, and that I was to come looking like the role. And I didn't know very much about it, so I went to Paramount.
So when you heard Frenchie, did you come with like an onion necklace and a beret and a stripy jumper?
Riding a bicycle with a very small dog on the back.
Right, that's it.
I bought some
wee-wee. Wee-wee-wee. That would have been great. Yeah. What did I know? So I go there, and at Paramount, at that time, it was a little bit different. They still have a gate, and they still have a guard and a booth. So you go in and you drive up and you say your name and they hand you a script. Well, he handed me an envelope. It was a skinny little envelope. So I opened it and it only had one page. And I think it was the Men Are Rats speech, you know.
Oh.
I didn't know what this comes. You know, you can't just, you could say a line, Men Are Rats.
Come on, can you remember it still?
Men Are Rats, can you remember? Worse than that.
Amoebas on rats.
Worse than that, they're fleas on rats.
Yeah.
Worse than that, they're amoebas on fleas on rats. Rats, the only man you can trust is your daddy.
Oh.
I didn't say it like that, though.
I'd give you the part.
Yeah.
I'm done.
Yeah, well, but you know, you've got to know the context. So I happened to notice on this guard's little desk that he had fat envelopes, too. And I asked him, do you know if any of these have the whole script? And sure enough, he opened one. He said, yeah. He says, go pull your car over there. And I came in and went under his desk and read the script. And it was good because I, you know, found out a lot of things. I found she was aspiring beautician and you know, also found out that Rizzo was a bigger part, but but no, no, they, yeah,
but more slaggy. So.
Oh, did you get a hickey on set though?
No,
no,
I was married at the time. I was a good girl. I was. My motto is: if you're gonna be bad, it better be good.
Again, we've got all these t-shirts,
this is Diddy Kong's 10 life lessons as told to the scummy mummy. Oh, this is what this can be.
Well, it's face, true. Oprah.
Yeah, absolutely.
So anyway, I auditioned, and Randall Kleiser told me that as soon as I opened my mouth, I had the role, but they didn't tell me that then. In fact, I never even read the lines. I think I just talked to them. And then came back for a dancing audition, and then they got several groups of Pink Ladies and T-Birds together, and just kept narrowing it down until it was the group you see.
Wow. Oh, wow. Now, what can you remember the first moment you met the Travolta?
At unemployment.
Down the Dole office?
Yeah. Before he got Welcome Back, Cotter, before I got any series, we were met in L.A. at the unemployment.
Yeah. Oh, really?
So who's that cute guy?
He just cruised in.
Yeah. It was before he had, you know, that he played Duty in the National Company of Greece. He toured it with that, and Jeff Conaway played Danny Zuko. And so he had seen Jeff play it. He saw Richard Gere play Danny. So he was so excited to get that role. And at that time when he got the role, he had just finished doing Saturday Night Fever. It hadn't come out yet.
Mm. Okay, so he wasn't the big phenomenon.
He wasn't the Travolta. He was just the guy out the door. Yeah.
Well, no. He was Barbarino. He was a heartthrob. Heartthrob. No. He definitely was.
Yeah.
But he had... when we were filming Grease, he got a rough cut of Saturday Night Fever. And he was afraid to see it. He said, "Guys, you know, after work today, would you come to a screening of this little film I did in Brooklyn? I don't know if it's in, you know." He was so modest.
Mm.
And we went to see. We flipped out. I mean, it was Saturday Night. I said, "Are you kidding me, Johnny? This is incredible." We all were like,
yeah,
went bananas. And he didn't know. He didn't know.
Wow.
So it was something.
So how long did the whole filming of Grease take? How long were you together?
About 10 weeks.
Oh, wow. So you really...
Forever and ever, surely.
We rehearsed for 3 weeks. Yeah. You know, yeah. And we needed to because of all the big production numbers.
I know, because there's many, many, many songs in it. And they're not... Yeah. Yeah. It's amazing.
Well, but a lot of the cast members were in either the Broadway version or one of the National Company. So they knew those characters. And Pat Birch choreographed the original Broadway musical. And she was the one who chose, of course... the 20 dancers that were coupled up, and each dancer had to come up with their own autobiography, their own ideas about their costume, their own ideas about their relationship and how that partnership would move. So she allowed them to find that themselves, which I thought brought so much to it. You know, they made us look good, those dancers. They were
So there's all these young actors. You're all like cool, sexy young dudes. A lot of you know each other. It's, you know, you're in this funky movie. Was there a lot of
rocking and rolling?
Yeah.
Maybe.
I think that's a yes, listener.
Yeah. No, there was. We were all a little bit older than the characters we were playing, so we stayed in character all the time.
Really? Even in breaks?
You were just
Frenchy the whole time.
All the time. And that was great because it gave us a creative license to regress, you know, and be horny and be silly.
Unless you're Olivia Newton-John, where you just were sitting in the corner with a cardigan, presumably.
Olivia Newton-John is Olivia Newton-John. As an Australian,
yes.
I actually lived in the same, house, but her dad was the head of the college I lived at.
Right.
And legend has it, Ellie loves these stories.
Yeah,
Dee Dee's fascinated that she lost her virginity on the pool table that I used to play on.
Wow.
I mean, this
I'm going to ask her, you know.
Please.
Are you still in touch?
Of course.
With her?
Oh,
Libby, we love her.
Are they all still banging?
Olivia. I thought... Never mind.
It's never lost mind. In never translation.
Mind. Yeah, yeah. I thought bangers were hot dogs.
Let's stick to that.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about.
Cool. No, I see her all the time. Whenever she's in anything on the East Coast, I go to see her, and she's doing great.
She's
and her
a treasure.
Band is amazing. She yeah. is. She's the real deal.
Yeah.
You know, she does a grease set in her act. And when I'm there, she tells the audience that I made a friend a long time ago. And you know how some of us make friends and we stay friends all these years? And I'm going to cry.
Oh, my God.
No. And then she says, and she's here. Dee Dee, are you there? And the audience goes crazy. And I go up on the stage and I get to be a rock star for a few minutes.
Oh, my God.
And then I stand in the wings because it's usually the end of the show that she does the Grease medley. And then she comes out and does I Honestly Love You. And when she sings it, it's so pure. It's like she's at a point in her life that she's received so much love and so much support that she just puts her hands out like this and gives it back.
It's so, I have chills.
She puts her hands out in front of her like that. Oh. Just you see it go out to the audience. It's so beautiful.
Livvy.
Yeah.
Oh, she's our treasure in Australia.
She's your treasure. My personal hero, apart from you, of course, Dee Dee, is Stockard Channing, who I just think is one of my favourite actors
she's
in the world ever. Does she ever invite you on stage to sing a duet?
She's funny. She's real. I always see her whenever she's in a play in New York, and I wait, you know, to see her afterwards. One time I went back, and I was so moved by what she did, I started to cry. I couldn't even talk. And she was like, "What are you doing?" I said, "Never mind. You were fantastic." It was a very emotional thing. That it was a play. I can't remember what it was, but I was so moved by her that I could barely talk, and I didn't think she had patience for that. Because the next time I went to see her in a play, and I was waiting for her backstage with my husband, it was also another actress, Linda Lavin was in it too, but we're waiting for Stockard, and she came out, and she saw me, she said, "Why don't you ever age?" And she left.
See, this is what I mean. She's my people.
Yes, I'm Olivia Newton-John.
She's my people.
Oh my God! Maybe she meant that as a compliment. But like I've waited a half an hour to see her to give her a hug.
Well, you know.
Why don't you ever age?
Why don't you ever age, though, Dee? Because you look amazing.
I got a makeup artist up.
I mean, I won't ask you how old you were, but Grease was 66. Made 40 years ago. So I'm imagining what 40s. 66. My goodness. What's your beauty secret? I mean, presumably you didn't learn it at beauty school for obvious reasons. Spaghetti.
Spaghetti and meatballs. So spaghetti and meat sauce. You don't have to have the balls. I mean, have the balls.
I mean, that's your choice.
That's your choice.
Always have balls.
Yeah, for balance.
You don't have to have the balls. Another life lesson from Dee Dee Khan. That's number three.
No, have balls. Yeah. Have balls. You don't, balls. You don't need always the cojones. You need to have a balance, especially if you're going to box. Stay in the middle. And
I do a lot of boxing myself. Oh, so just eat carbs and meat. Is that your secret?
No, I don't know. I think I think it's inherited from my father. My mother had terrific spirit. And I got some good genes, gene spirit. And never, I'll tell you one little thing. When I was about 20 or 21, I was just starting doing commercials, a lot of commercials in the city. And I was in an elevator, and I recognized this actress who had done, I mean, like the biggest commercials of that time. So I'm standing right next to her, and I'm looking at her skin. And she was about 10 years old. And she had the most beautiful skin. What do you do? She says, "Never use soap on your face."
Oh.
And I've never used soap on my face.
There we are. That's number four.
Yeah, there you go. And I never did. And she said, "Have facials," which is good to clean, I guess. But
that's
not
just
using
a lovely
soap,
thing. You know? An hour of someone touching your face is a
and
wonderful thing.
Massages and
Oh, I love this. Let's get the face packs out.
Absolutely.
And so when you were making Grease, did you know it was going to be such a... Did you have an inkling like you did when you saw Saturday Night Fever, you were saying? When you were doing Grease, did you think, oh, this is going to be a big
No,
hit?
We were so into just making it. And God knows if I had known. I mean, this is a time before VHS, before video, before anything, DVDs. I didn't get... What, do you think we get any of that? No, but John and Olivia, their agent knew about putting in the contract if there is anything in the future that may come of this, that they get X amount of percentage.
Helen, write this down. Get on to Nick. Get on to Nick.
VHS. I'm writing it down, Ellie.
Any future technologies, if there's films in space or podcasts
that's
in
right.
space,
exactly.
We want
to cut. Yeah, you get a cut. There you go.
Oh, wow. You don't seem very bitter about that, though.
Hey,
she's talking to us now. I mean, it's paid off.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. Absolutely. I was going to say that. You guys are terrific.
It was all worth it. So what was life like when the film came out? Did life change a lot for you?
No, not really. I think, you know, it always makes people happy. So that makes me happy. Mm. And, you know, my dry cleaners wants a picture to put up on his wall. Or you know, when... if I'm waiting to get on an airplane, in the old days, you know, I'd get bumped up to first class or whatever, you know, which would be nice. Because it makes people happy, you know, and that makes me happy.
Yeah, well, and that character is such a popular and memorable character. Surely that's part of it, do you think?
I hope so.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't know. It surprises me, but maybe we all, she was a good friend. You know, and in fact, Olivia always tells the story about her first day of filming. She was nervous because she had done one other film and she wasn't so sure about it. So she did a test with John, and there was instant chemistry. So that part was over. But when her first scene was walking onto the Rydell campus with Frenchie, and so, you know, she'd been in her own trailer and away from all of us. So I just started improvising with her, you know, while we were waiting for the lighting to be set up. I just started to tell her, oh, I'm so happy you moved next door to me. And I always wanted to have a friend. And tell me about Sydney, Australia. Tell me about school. What was school like? And she just dove right in.
Yeah.
And said, oh, I had to wear gloves to school and the boys went in this way. I can't do her accent. I'm sorry.
No, I can barely do my own, Dee Dee. So, yeah. we can improvise together. But, I am Olivia Newton-John.
Yeah. But anyway, then when Randall Kleiss, the director, said action, we were right in the mode. And when the take was over, she hugged me and she said, thank you. That was so much fun.
Aww.
You know. And then I just stayed as Frenchie. Oh, I love you. I'm so glad you got here. I'm going to introduce you to the rest of the girls later. You know? And it just went on like that. So.
So it's like this amazing kind of holiday for 12. I mean, obviously you had those long nights, especially eating chili at 4 a.m. in the morning. I mean, it wasn't a picnic, but yeah.
It was fun.
Yeah.
I don't remember any stress. I remember everybody having a good time and that the people who had done the play and or the, you know, and the national company or on Broadway, they kept remembering things to try this or try that. And some of it stayed in and the improvising really, really worked, you know. And then when we shot like the scene at the end at the carnival, we had rehearsed that on a soundstage. So we didn't have all those props and all the gadgets. And so things were happening right there, because I don't know how many days it took to do it, but they only had, you know, in the budget a certain amount of time.
Mm.
So they would just, Dee Dee, go up on the Ferris wheel or Frenchie, go on the Ferris wheel with Rizzo, you know. Well, that was great, because as the Ferris wheel was coming down, they said, action, she tells me she's not pregnant.
Yeah.
Oh, and it was just enough time for me to jump off. Well, that never happened in rehearsal, you know, because we didn't have that the actual set.
Mm.
So a lot of stuff like that happened in the moment, and it was consistent. Maybe that's what people find contagious, you know, that energy. And
no, there's a real connection
energy.
Between all of you.
Yeah.
Good energy.
When did you last watch the movie?
Well, I host a Grease sing-along at the Hollywood Bowl in Los Angeles,
oh,
which
wow.
is for 18,000 people. So that was... two years ago, and I'm doing it on June 30th. So if you're going to be in LA, let me know.
Book the tickets, Tom.
Oh my God.
Oh, it's so much fun, because everybody, all 18,000, get a little bag of props.
Oh.
So, and we rehearse, you know, when you comb your hair and when the guys comb, take the comb out.
Oh,
when
amazing.
The pom pom, there's a pom pom. When the bad guys, scorpions, come, say boo, you know.
Yeah.
And when it's beauty school dropout, there's bubbles. So the whole Hollywood Bowl, which is an outdoor venue, fills with bubbles. It's magical. So that's the last time I saw it. Yeah, maybe I'll watch a little bit of it this time too.
Yes.
Do you think it stands up today still? Because obviously it's a great movie, great songs and great acting and dancing and all that. But I feel like some of the messages, I'm not sure they would be in a film today.
Like?
Well, there's an argument that, you know, the kind of with Sandy's character, there's a kind of thing that, you know, you have to conform to be accepted and you have to basically be a bit slaggy.
Well, you know what? Maybe that's... Yeah, I can see that, but Olivia and I always took it that because she was such a pure, beautiful, good girl,
yeah,
and all her as a star, that's who she was, perfect, gorgeous, sweet, heart, good girl.
Yeah.
But yeah, Olivia has a sexy, hot mama inside her. Mm. So it was about bringing out more of her.
Right, okay.
And... not that, you know, she was doing it just to please him. That let me be my whole self. Yes. So
I am a smoker.
Yeah. Yes. Well, she's not a good one. She tried that one. That didn't work too well, you know.
It doesn't seem to.
And the same thing with him. That he, you know, he met her. He was a sweet guy. Mm. He didn't have to put on the airs. Mm. You know, so he just had his sweet self come out again. And is, you know, trying to be a jock even though... You know, so I think it's more about bringing out more of yourself, being the best you can be, being the fullest you can be.
Yeah, and I think some of the themes do translate in terms of being a teenager and fitting in. Like, all those anxieties are still ring true today.
Yeah, that's good. That's
yeah,
true.
Yeah, and also you do explore about who you are when you're a teenager. You right. try on different clothes, yeah. whether it's, you know, a sweet dress or very, very tight black trousers. Yes.
I had the trousers.
Did you?
Because my Aunt Janice, she was like, in the 70s, she was like a cool chick at the discos in the 70s.
She'll be thrilled to you.
Oh, she'd love it. Yeah, she'd love it. And she had these two pairs of like original Sandy trousers that she passed down to me. And I think I still have one that I can just about fit into after about half an hour of sort of pliers and corsetry.
Yeah. Wow.
I could just about, but not comfortably, and I can't eat anything.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Well,
I mean,
you know, Olivia had to be sewn into it.
Oh, that's what I was going to ask. Mean, it was because you look yes. at them, it's like there's nothing.
Oh, nothing. Yeah. No.
There's room to move in those things.
No.
Bounce 50p off them all day.
Yeah.
It's astonishing.
One take. We had one take before she could have an actual breath.
How about a pee?
Oh, my God, exactly.
And it was hot out there.
She must have had a catheter. Did she have a catheter?
No. This is what they say about the Met Ball. You see these women in these dresses.
Oh,
they're like,
I know.
They have portable catheters, apparently. Not my idea of a good night out, Dee Dee, I'm afraid.
Oh, that's my dream. Never have to leave the table. Brilliant. More champagne, please. Good times.
Oh, we're covering all the topics, really, on this podcast.
So what's life been like since Greece? Obviously, it's still part of your life with the sing-along and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah.
Like, what else have you been up to?
Well, also, for our 20th anniversary, I wrote a book called Frenchie Squeeze Scrapbook, and it was a fundraiser for a therapeutic nursery that my son was going to. My son's autistic, and I raised a lot of money with that, and everybody was very generous to tell me, you know, their memories of working on the movie and their audition stories. Like you're asking me, I asked them. And I also asked everybody, what do you think your character would be doing 20 years later?
Mm.
And I got such great stories that I wrote them all up. Well, it's in the book, but I wrote them up as a kind of a sequel movie and brought it to Alan Carr, who was the producer, and he loved it. And we had a meeting at ABC, and they wanted to do it. And they hired writers who wouldn't listen to what the characters said they would be doing 20 years later. They wanted to make something up that had nothing to do with who we are. And I would say to them, you don't understand. Millions of people all around the world have watched this movie. This is 20 years ago, so many times. They know these characters. You have to use that as a springboard. You can't just make up something else.
No. You can't set it on the moon.
They didn't listen.
No.
They didn't. So it didn't work out. It was very disappointing.
Oh. But that is a great question, so let's steal it. What do you think Frenchie would be doing now?
Oh, well, I think by now she has probably a chain of grooming salons.
Oh, yeah.
Grooming salons.
Oh, yes.
It's a chain. At that time, it was just one, but I think now, yeah.
Frenchie's Poodles, something
Frenchie's
like that.
Frenchie's Poodle, Pinch Pinkies.
You can have that. Yeah. Welcome.
Frenchie's Scummy Mummy's Poodles.
Yes, oh, yes, let's go into business.
Collab.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So how old is your... I know you mentioned you're a mum. How old's your son now?
He's going to be 26 in July.
Okay. Has he seen the movie?
Yeah, he's... I don't know that he's ever seen it all the way through. I mean, he's seen parts of it.
Yeah.
And, because he has a disability and he is also very sensitive, sensitive ears. So the Hollywood Bowl is a little bit overwhelming for him.
Yeah.
But he knows Mommy's Frenchie, you know, because people recognize me a lot on the street, and you know, that's a little bit hard too. So, you know, it's been an interesting role, this mommy role. I've learned patience that I never knew existed, because when you have a child who's on the autistic spectrum, it manifests in all different ways. But it takes, you know, you have to kind of become huge in order to keep your arms around them and make them feel safe. So.
Yeah.
That sounds... Yeah, how old was he when he was diagnosed?
He was... My son was a nursery school dropout. I got a call when he was three. And no, this isn't going to work, Didi. He's not participating. He's holding his ears. He's in a corner. I said, well, we had just moved back from L.A. to New York. I said, maybe it's the move, you know, maybe he's, you know. But he said, no, you better, I've seen this before, you better bring him to a neurologist. And so he's about almost 3 and a half when he was diagnosed. But he was having horrible, horrible tantrums because of his auditory sensitivity. And but he's doing great now. We were blessed. He's living and working on a farm upstate New York. It's a self-sustaining farm. It has a school, and he works feeding pigs and collecting eggs. And
I want to go there. Yeah. That sounds very nice.
And it's just a place that's built on lots of love and heart. So we're very fortunate. He goes horseback riding sometimes and swimming pool there.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah.
We know, because we get emails from some of our listeners who have children on the autistic spectrum. Mm-hmm. Got any advice, I guess, for people going through it with young children now?
Well, first of all, see, I'm going back to the dark ages. Now you can go on the internet and go to Autism Speaks and find out, you know, questionnaire about, if you have questions, is this normal? Is it not? Is it food sensitivity? There are things that look like autism that they found is really a problem, a stomach problem, a gut problem. You clear that up and those autistic-like symptoms go away. So go on Autism Speaks. There's fabulous support. There's ways to get help. Early intervention is the most important thing. Earlier the better, because if it's not, it's not at all like having a stroke when you lose something and then you learn it, but in the way that you try to make connections happen that aren't happening in development is by repetition. So early intervention, it's like little kids can learn a couple of languages at once. The brain is still very flexible when they're young. So that's my biggest suggestion, and get support. It was so dramatic and scary, and my mother didn't live nearby, and my father, they were divorced, and my father didn't live nearby, and I didn't ask them to come help me. And I regret that. And I really needed something about your parents being there. So please, if this is you, ask for help, because it's scary, and there's a lot of things that you need to sort out, getting therapies going, financially, getting help, whatever it is, ask for help.
I think that's such a great thing, because again, that's what we've talked about before, and I think not necessarily even if you're dealing with the autism issue specifically, but I think a lot of mums are frightened to ask for help just if they're struggling generally, because it feels like maybe you're
not a good
failure.
Mom. Yeah, exactly. But no, because life is overwhelming. You know, there's so much going on that is frightening, and financially things are more expensive and difficult to manage. So yes, ask for help, you know.
Life is overwhelming, ask for help. I feel like that's Dee Dee's ultimate life lesson.
No. If you're gonna be bad, it better be good.
That's the take home,
okay,
everyone.
Wait, I'm gonna give you a test
saucier.
Right now.
All right, okay.
Ready?
Okay.
A wap babaloom up.
A wap bamboo.
Did we pass?
I think so.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much. We do like to round off with a scummy mummy confession. I've got a potty training confession.
Oh yes.
It's not even really mine. I have a lovely nanny called Inga, which makes her sound like she's from Stockholm. She's actually from Sydenham, down the road. So Inga is looking after my little son Joe, and she was potty training him yesterday while Helen and I went to do a show up in Norwich. Uh-huh. And she WhatsApped me going, "Well, he's done 3 wees in the potty." And I was like, "Yeah, go Joe. Oh, my son's so great. He's doing so well. This is just going to be a breeze." And she was like, "Yeah." Then he came in the kitchen and went, "Inga, come and look at this." And led me out into the hallway where he'd laid 2 pieces of cable, just very neatly, on the floor.
Oh.
So,
well, that's a step in the right direction.
That's one way to look at it.
Yes.
Yes.
Not in his pants. You know, that's a good thing.
And the floors are floorboards.
How old is he? 3?
He's 3.
That's very young. That's still young.
Yeah. So I think, Helen, do you have a...
I've got one. I went to a friend's the other day for a barbecue.
Yeah.
It was lovely. They made sausages, salads, the whole shebang. And as we were leaving, I said to my 6-year-old son, I said, "And what do we say when we're about to leave someone's house?" And he said, "Put your shoes on."
That's so cute.
Oh, my God.
That's
I was like, you meant
greatest.
To say thank you very much, but yes.
That's so good.
Oh, my God.
A wonderful way to end the podcast.
What a wonderful woman.
What a wonderful,
Dee Dee.
Honestly. It's always frightening to meet your heroes, but when it works out, it's absolutely amazing. Thank you so much.
Thank you
so much. We should say, Dee Dee, that you're here to promote Grease, obviously, which is on Now TV
at the moment. That's right, streaming on Now TV.
We can watch it every day.
It's a great streaming service because you don't have to get a big contract. You can even just get it for the day.
She's so on message. It's unbelievable.
Well, I think
PR has just orgasmed.
She's just nodding and frigging in the corner.
That's our job, Ellie.
Yes.
If you're gonna be bad, it better be good.
That's Now TV's new tagline. I feel like
they have no choice.
Thank you very much for listening to the podcast. As always, please rate, review, and subscribe. Tell your friends. Come and see us live. Go to scummymummies.com for dates and tickets.
We are touring all up and down the country, and our book is still in print, Ellie.
Yes. We're coming to Cornwall. We're coming to
Manchester. Bristol, yes, Cambridge, all the places.
All over the shop. Do follow us on the Instagram at Scummy Mummies. All that, is that all that?
I think that's it.
Yes.
And just, I've been changed for the better.
Oh.
I feel like I'm armed for life. I've got motivational quotes and I've got love in my heart.
I feel like I've just spent half an hour with a sort of small New York Buddha. It's been spectacular.
Love you guys.
Love you,
Dee Dee.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Thank you very much.
Oh, my pleasure.
Yes. Until next time.
Bye-bye.
Just a quick sound check. Can I ask you, what did you have for lunch just now, Dee Dee?
Fish and chips.
Oh, did you? Where from?
Well, I don't know the name.
Dean Street.
Yeah, Dean Street Townhouse.
Lardy
posh fish and chips.
Yeah, ooh, it was this huge. It was like a whale on my plate.
Fish and
gummy mummies.
That's
gummy
right. Mummies. So yes. Last night we were performing in Norwich to 500 quite drunk women. We wear gold cat suits.
I don't know. If you, are you familiar with Norwich? Do you know Norwich?
I know a Norwich Terrier.
No.
The doggy. I know what they look like.
They're sort of called, Norwich is sort of the equivalent of Ohio. Does
that
make sense?
Okay, yes. All
right. So as you can imagine, as glamorous as that sounds.
Yeah.
That's good fun.
Scummy mummies.
Yep. Scummy mummies, afraid so.
Drink rummy.
Shrink rummy, what's
no,
that?
No, drink rummy.
Drink rummy, oh, oh yes, God, yes. All day long. Let's get some.
Become dummy.
Yeah. Love
and
it.
And say yummy.
Yes, exactly.
Poetry with Dee Dee Con. Here we are.
Here we are.
I love
Forecast
it.
Podcast done.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.